If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to continue through the book of Galatians, and we'll be looking at verses 11 through 14. I want you to, I've got a few books here, and we're going to read them today, Miss Janet, all of them. You want to? I know. Put the watch up. No. I don't want to read the titles here, and this one right here is by Josh McDowell, and it said, the evidence that demands a verdict. And it's a historical evidence of the Christian faith. I have another one here by Josh McDowell, and it says, answers to tough questions skeptics ask about the Christian faith. All right. Another one is by Henry Morris, which is one of the guys that's really big into creation and Genesis. A lot of study in that, and he wrote a book, Many Infallible Proofs, Evidences for the Christian Faith. Have another one by Henry Morris, and this one's called Defending the Faith, Upholding Biblical Christianity and the Genesis Record. And here's another one, a little bit different title, but Ray Comfort. And it says, God doesn't believe in atheists, okay? And so, obviously, these books, I'm going to put these right here, all these books, you say, what's the point in telling us that? All them books right there, and there's many more books, not in my office, but people write them. These books are books that all deal with one topic. Defending the truth. And what I mean by that is God's Word. God's Word is the truth. This is nothing new. The truth has been under attack since the serpent arrived at the garden, tempting Eve into rejecting God's truth about the tree of life. God's absolute truth, and I put there absolute because we'll see in a minute, a lot of people believe it's truth, but not absolute truth. God's absolute truth has been assaulted, twisted, denied, perverted, and too taken away that the world don't even believe there is a thing as absolute truth. And that is so true, okay? And once again, it used to be truth is what you want it to be, now to the point that there is no truth, okay? Even Christians don't see God's Word as absolute truth. For many, they have this type of attitude about the Bible. God's Word is the best choice, but it's not the only choice. I would say, as a believer, there is no other choice. Many people have the attitude that God's truth is at the top of the ladder. The problem with his thinking is that when it comes to truth, there's no other truth in the race. I want you to understand that. That's what so many people will say, oh, this is a good book. Oh, and I'm getting a Christian, oh, this is what ought to be followed. But when it comes down to it, what they're saying is, out of everything that you can do, this is the best one, but it's not the only one. And that's where the mistake's at. God's truth is not the best truth. It's the only truth. I want you to understand that. God's Word is not the best truth. It's the only truth. That's the problem we have. We got so many people and Christians and churches thinking that, oh, God's truth is good. It's the only truth. It's not the best truth. So when you say the best truth, you're saying there's other truth that can be followed. There's no other truth. There's the truth, and then there's lies. There's right, and then there's wrong. Some of you, and some of us, the church, everyone, really need to get a grasp on that concept. With that in mind, I want to preach a message called The Review on the Truth. In the context here, the specific truth that is under attack is the gospel about victory in Jesus. Even the song that she sang about Jesus dying and for me and for you. That's the specific truth that is under attack. Which obviously the truth is that concerning man is a sinner, and the way to be saved from the penalty and the power of sin is through Jesus Christ. Paul going to defend this truth, and while doing it, he's going to give us and to reveal to us three very, very important truths about truth. I'm going to say that again. He's going to give us some important truths about truth. And you need to listen. So let's read these verses. But I certify, you brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So see the word gospel, that's the truth that we're talking about. The gospel truth, the truth about mankind. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ. Man, that's so great. For by ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Let's pray. Father, I do ask for the next few minutes, Lord, as we look at this. Father, I know that a lot of people in here, well, they believe your word to be absolute truth, but Lord, we're going to talk about it later. Sometimes we don't always put that into practice. And Lord, there may be some here who probably, and including myself, Lord, who we sometimes think your word is the best, but we don't always think of it as the only truth. Lord, help us, Father, I want you to, as we sit here and look at your word together, that you'll convict all of us, Lord, in the area that we need convicted, Lord. And I know that the devil wants nothing more than for us to not to talk about absolute truth. But Lord, I ask you to help us do that today in Christ's name. Amen. The first truth about truth that you need to know is, number one, we are not the source of truth. I want you to understand that. Now, I understand we're ambassadors if we're Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the source, the origin. We are not the deciding factor in what truth is. Here's the first thing, letter A, is the problem. We have a problem, and here it is. We want to be the source of truth. We like to say things like this: I think, or I feel, or I just don't see anything, or when I read it in my mind, I know what the Bible says, but right there when you're wrong. We have a problem, and we want to be the source of truth. We want to decide what's right and what's wrong. We want to base what we do on our opinion instead of God's word. We want to get to decide. Therefore, this is what we do. We change or reject God's word, or we ignore certain commands. That's the problem. There are some who make up their own way to be saved. That's what some people don't like the truth that I'm a sinner and I must submit to God by faith, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to make my own way to be saved. There's other people who they want to make up their own rules and sin that are okay. We have a lot of Christians, I think all Christians, who they love the Bible, I guess. But what they do, they say, well, I'm going to make my own set of rules and get into big things, and I'm going to create my own list of sin that are okay for me to commit. We would never say it that way, but that's exactly what we're doing. The problem is when we do that, we are looking at ourselves as truth. Now, you say, well, what did that have to do with our text? Well, they had the same problem. People were no different back then. People have always wanted to develop their truth. Here it is. The Judaizers had developed their own truth. Even before Jesus came, and before they rejected Jesus, they had already developed their own truth. Let me show you what I mean. Their theology, moral standards, and ceremony had roots in God's word of the Old Testament. Okay, so that's how a lot of Christians and church people are, and even the South, they got roots. They got roots of Christianity and the Word of God. But the biblical truth and standards have been so diluted and distorted by human interpretation. Basically what they're saying, Brother Mike, and, well, what this verse means to me. That's what they're saying. That's happened so much with the Word of God that it's been diluted and distorted, that largely by the time Jesus came to witness to the Jews, most of their teaching was from man and taught according to man interpretation. See, we think about the Jews, Brother Mike, and I didn't even realize it. We only think, well, they're following the law. No. They took the law and they ain't adding to it, and they ain't developing their own kind of religion, their own set of truths. That, yeah, they had roots in the truth, but it wasn't the truth. And that's exactly what so many people are doing today. Oh, man, you can go around this area right here in Kingsville, and most, not all, but most will have some type of roots in biblical teachings. Yet they call themselves a Christian. Like I said, you can see this with a lot of artists, music artists. That's why they can sing only wicked song, and oh, I'm still a Christian, because they've got roots. But there is no truth there. Let me read another one. And this next one is up on the screen. Go ahead and put it up, please. Alright. I'm going to read something before that, and then you can read that. Although scripture, especially the Torah, was originally given to the highest honor, they were not honored by the people through direct study and sincere obedience. Now here it is. In the eyes of many Jews of that day, just as in the eyes of many professing Christians today, scripture was a religious relic that deserved superficial reverence, but not sincere study or obedience. If that doesn't describe the church, then I don't know what does. We have a reverence. Oh, some of y'all would never set something on top of your Bible. You never use it as a coaster. Oh, no. Superficial reverence, but not serious study or obedience. See, the devil don't want to talk about it today. I believe that's why it's going bad right there. Satan don't want you to realize that. Oh, he wants you to have a reverence for the Word of God. But he doesn't want you to obey. Oh, we have the memes. Oh, yeah. We have the shirts. We have the bracelets. We have the pictures. Oh, we get mad in Alabama when you take them out of the courtroom, the Ten Commandments. Yet many don't study or obey it. Many would never burn the Bible, yet you might as well, if you never read or study or obey it, it's the same difference. See, Satan don't care if you don't ever burn the Bible. That's not what he wants. He wants you not study and obey it. The only thing different that you have created a superficial reverence for the Word while creating your own truth in the meantime. Oh, the Judaizers have done that. Even before Jesus came. But also, even worse than that, the Judaizers had developed their own truth concerning salvation. They said that man must follow a certain man-made law that was based on the Word of God. They were based on the Word of God, but it wasn't the Word of God. Same thing today. We have things that are rooted, oh, I'm going to heaven because of this or that. That are good things, but it's not the truth. Now, here's the question. Why do men want to be a source of truth or salvation, either one? Because, I mean, I'm talking not just salvation, but even you. Why do we want to be the source of truth? Here's what John MacArthur said. Man's simple pride is offended by the idea that God's mercy and grace can save from sin. The only thing it insists to have a part of his own salvation. The problem, hear me, man. The problem is man is offended when God is the only thing that can save him. The problem is man is offended when God's instruction don't go along with man ways. There's a conflict. And here's the option. Submit and obey, or create your own truth. That's what some people do. The word of God hits you right in the face, and you don't like it, so what you do is, and you start creating your own truth. The problem is that, here it is, man, you are not the source of truth. That's only what Paul is dealing with. Men want to be the source of truth concerning salvation. The same problem is today. The church, even with believers, they want to be the source of truth when it comes to even life. When it comes to how to deal with business, how to conduct your finances, how to conduct your marriage, how to raise your kids. We got all the ideas. But if you don't go with the Word of God, then all you're doing is creating your own truth, and the problem is you're not the source of truth. We see the problem here in letter B. Here's the correction. Well, we'll see it in verse 11. We're still on point one. Here's the correction. Look at verse 11. But I certify. So Paul wants to make something very clear. The word certify there, it means to make clear. So and with all the verb tense and things, it can be read like this. Let me make it perfectly clear. So what does he want to make perfectly clear? Here it is. Let's read on. That the gospel, there's the truth, biblical truth of salvation, which was preached of me, that I preach, is not after, wait a minute, here we are, here we're going to back up what I just said. It's not after man. See, what Paul's saying here is that the source of the gospel truth did not come from man. He goes on to say this. It was not received from man. If you read on in verse 12, it says, For I neither received it of man, neither what I taught it. Now, that's very interesting, because that's exactly what the Judaizers are doing. Their tradition had been passed down from each generation. It was taught to them. And Paul said, not what I'm preaching. What I'm preaching was not taught by man, nor was it received of man. Paul is directing this to the Judaizers. He's saying, look, the truth does not come from man. Here's the problem. I'm going to read that. I read a quote a minute ago. I'm going to read it again. He said, here's the problem with what they were doing. They received from man and taught according to man's interpretation. See, what the Jews were doing, they were taking the word of God. And they were taking it, and they were teaching it according to man. They were teaching it according to, this is what I think it said, or this is what I feel it said, or this is what it means to me. And they done that for so long that they did not know what the truth was. Hey, that's exactly what we're doing today. That's what the church is combating. We're combating this. Thus saith the Lord versus this. Well, I don't think that's what God would do. I had this argument the other day. Now, I'm going to tell you what the situation was. I've already preached on this. I know people here have been this way. I know people experienced this. I'm not here to talk about this right now. But it was over divorce. And here's how the conversation went. One of my buddies, they were going to have a marriage problem. They were going to get a divorce. And I won't get into detail, but it's what my friend said. I know what I would do in that situation. So therefore, what he said was, I basically was pushing for him to get a divorce. I said, and he said, okay, you're right. I said, you're right. I'd probably do the same thing. But that don't change that I'd be wrong. And what I meant by that was, what does God want at the end of the day? God doesn't want divorce. What does he say? Something to the nature of what God put together, don't let no man put asunder. Because now I know we can't sidestep this. Now I know it don't always end that way. I know that sometimes it's unrestorable at time. I know that God, we preached on this in 1 Corinthians. I know that God even allowed for it to be divorced back in the Old Testament for the protection of women. Very interesting if you read that. All that. But at the end of the day, the heart of God doesn't want divorce. So I couldn't, in a right, and no matter what I would do in that situation, I've got to advise off of what thus saith the Lord, not what I know what I would do, not what I think God would want to know. No, we have to stay on the truth, and we cannot let our feelings interpret what thus saith the Lord. What he was doing was because he knew what he would do, he created his own truth. And I don't want any of y'all to win an argument with the Bible about what God wants concerning divorce. This is what God wants. God doesn't want it. That doesn't mean that God can't forgive. That doesn't mean that God can't restore. God did, and that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is one thing, and that is that there's a battle for the truth. And that's just a conversation I had. Because we don't want the absolute truth. We let our feeling and what we would do, all these get in the way of what does the Bible say. And at the end of the day, we are not the source of truth. What can we learn? Whether salvation or any other truth, man wants to be the source. But here it is, ready? You are not the source of truth. Yet many times when you place yourself as the source of truth. Proverbs 21:2 says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Oh, how many times do we do that? How many times we justify doing something we know is wrong in our own eyes? Judges 17:5, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did what was right in his own eyes. Oh, that's what America's doing. Woo! That's exactly what you're doing. Did you watch something last night that you knew you shouldn't watch? But you justified it? Did you listen to something on the radio that you knew you shouldn't listen to, but justified it? Did you not do something that you knew you should do, but justified it? You created your own truth. I want you to know that you are not the source of truth. You're not the authority on truth. Quit living your life according to your thoughts, your feeling, and logic, and start living according to thus saith the Lord. When your actions don't match God's command, then change your actions. Simple as that. But oh, that's too much for people now. We can't do that now. Because there can't be no absolute. That's what you have to do. And you need to know that. Number two, the first fact about truth is that you are not the source of truth. Number two, this comes without saying. Number two, we receive the truth from Jesus. Look at verse 12 again, the last part. And you want to make something very clear. Let me make this very clear, is what he's saying. And in verse 12 it says, but I preach the gospel by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the first thing we see here is the recipients. The recipients of Jesus' truth. Who can receive this? Well, in our text, first person was Paul. Paul received the truth. Paul clears up that the gospel did not come from any man, not him or any other, but it came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is making it clear that the gospel he preached did not come through human agents. It was not passed down by him by tradition. I mean, that's what we have a lot in the Bible Belt. Well, my daddy and my mama, they said if I go to church and be a good person, and I'd go to heaven. No. I don't care how long that's been passed down. That's not what's going to get you to heaven. Why was it so important? Why is Paul addressing it? Because that's exactly what the Judaizers were doing. They had created their own gospel. Look at verse 6. We already talked about this. Look at the last part. And it said, into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. The Judaizers had created another gospel through their teachings and through their tradition and through what they think and what they feel. And that's exactly what's happening today. They've been passed down from generation to generation of a religion that is rooted in the Bible, but it's not of the Bible. And he's saying, and created our own gospel. But here's what Paul says. Paul says, the gospel isn't born through man, but through Jesus Christ. This applies to all truth. Not just the gospel, but even in life. Everything, every truth about life comes from Jesus. Paul was a recipient here, but there's another recipient for Jesus' truth. You. You. Paul, Jesus didn't give Paul this revelation to keep it to himself. That's why he hadn't Jesus preaching yet. John 1:14-17, I'll read just a couple of verses. It said, talk about Jesus. It said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he was full of grace and truth. And he says at the end there, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus, I want you to understand this. Jesus is the truth. Luke 1:78-79. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring, Jesus, from on high, hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Well, that's what we need today, ain't it, Brother Darryl? We need peace. And how do we get that peace? Whether it's peace in your marriage, whether it's peace at home, whether it's peace at your job, whether it's peace when you go to bed, here's how you have peace. You let Jesus, the truth, guide you in this dark world. Jesus came to give that truth to all people, especially concerning salvation. John 14:6-7. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You have known me, you have known my Father, and also, but henceforth you know him and have seen him. You say, Brother Will, this is fundamental. Yeah? When it comes to salvation, I think most of y'all would agree with me. But practically speaking, many of you don't view Jesus as the way to live your life. Do you follow it? Is this what dictates what you do? Here it is. Jesus is the only source of truth when it comes to salvation. And that's the fact that you are a sinner on your way to hell, and all you want to be saved from an eternal hell is to put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins. That's the only truth when it comes to salvation. He is the only truth when it comes to life. We see here the recipient. Now look at the results. I just broke some things down. What are the results of accepting Jesus' truth? Well, first of all, it should depend on what truth you're talking about. Concerning salvation, and salvation from the penalty and power of sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, that means accept him, should not perish, and here's the result, have everlasting life. Romans 6:7, for he that is dead is free from sin. And that's what we don't like. That's what most people don't want to live by. If you're saved from the penalty of sin, then you also are saved from the power of sin, which means that you're going to conduct your life different than before you said, I got saved. If you got saved from the penalty of sin, but you never were delivered from the power of sin, then you didn't get saved. Because Romans 6 says, make it clear. Oh, here's another one. And then Jesus said to those which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed. Why is that so hard for us to recognize? If someone's not following God, they're not saved. Why can we not get that through our head? But no, anyway. I don't get why we can't get that. I don't know why they're not living for God. Because they don't know God. That's what my Bible teaches. They don't know God. That's why. When it says that, then Jesus said to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if you don't continue in the word, if you don't live it, then you never knew him. Salvation, but also here, direction is safety. One of the results, Psalm 119:105, the word, the truth, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 114. Thou art my hiding place. Thou art my shield. I hope in thee. We can go on and on, but my point is this. The results of accepting God's truth is amazing. Why would you want to come up with another truth? Why? It works. Now, what don't work is us a lot of times. And it's not because this doesn't work. That's the results. Jesus is the only source of truth. We are not truth. So you say, okay, if we're not the source of truth, and Jesus is the source of truth, what do we do? Study and obey the Word of God. And if you don't know it, you have to study, right? So now that we've established you don't know truth because you're not truth, then what do you have to do? You have to study what is truth. That's the Word of God. And then you have to implement that in your life, which means obey it. This really tells if you believe that Jesus is truth or not by the way you treat the truth. You actually will say if you believe the truth, and it's the only truth. Here's some question. Do you consult it? When you have a problem in your life, do you consult it? Do you study it? Do you obey it? Do you submit to it when it conflicts with what you want to do? Do you submit? Who wins? See, I've learned this one time. I can't tell you the situation. I learned something about submission. Submission's great until it's hard to do. I had a boss one time I had to submit to. I didn't want to. He run it wrong, but I didn't like the direction. I didn't like the outcome. But that's when I was very loyal. But I learned that loyalty is real easy until it's hard. Same thing with the Word of God. We can obey certain things, but what happens when the Word of God goes against what you want to do? Do you submit? Here, you know, I'll let you answer the question. Here's the problem. And I've already read it. I'm going to read it again, though. The problem is many of us have a superficial reverence for the truth, but not real reverence. I'm going to read this again. Scripture was a religious relic that deserves superficial reverence, but not serious study or obedience. That is the problem. The problem with many of us, and we have a superficial reverence. Oh, you might quote it, and you might win an argument with the Word of God, but do you really study it? And here's more important, do you obey what you know? If you believe the Word of God is the truth, then you will consult, study, know it, and obey it. You're going to be like David, the Word that hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. For most of us, the Word is just a picture, or a meme, or a bracelet that I wear to justify my sinfulness, yet feel spiritual. I get on soapbox on this. I cannot stand. We pick one thing to die on. One thing. You know why most people do that when they find one thing to die on? Because it's easier to find one thing to die over to make yourself feel spiritual than to every day follow the Word of God. Same thing. Oh, it's much easier to wear a shirt or a bracelet and do what you want and still feel spiritual than in to say, I am going to render 100% to as much as I can to what the Word of God says. The problem is that we have a superficial reverence. You know what tells me? You wearing a bracelet. Back in like fourth grade. I'm born in 85, so back in fourth grade, so it was like the 90s. WWJD was real big. Now I think the new one is what he would do, what he would love or something like that. Those things don't mean that you love the Word of God. You know what makes you know if you love the Word of God and Jesus, the one who obeys it? Listen to this. I'm going to blow your mind right here. John 14:20-21. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and in me I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by the Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. That's how. Those that do is the ones that are of the Father, not the one that hears. Uh-oh, that's James. Read James chapter 1. Not those who hear it, but those that do it. We got a lot of unsaved hearers and a few saved doers. There's no such thing as a saved hearer only. We've got a lot of unsaved hearers. No, saved people do. Those that love Jesus and love His Word, they obey it. The reason many people don't obey the truth is you don't believe it is the truth. And biblical truth isn't accepted by men. I mean, here it is. I mean, I've talked to people, and I'm more than one person. But when you start saying, no, I don't know what's wrong with that person. They're not saved. Well, come on. They never say to me, you're my friend. Come on now, Will. You're being too judgmental. I need to do a sermon on that. But I just picked a few verses. The Bible says if you love him, you'll keep his commandment. And if you, those who are justified, those that do it, not hear it. Man, I go on and on. No, those who are saved will walk in the light. But that's the truth that we have rejected now. We reject this truth. Well, I've got it right here. Oh, here it is. The Bible teaches that a Christian will act like a Christian. That's plain and simple. And I'm sick. I'm sick of just, not so much ignorance. If they don't act like a Christian, they're not a Christian. That's it, plain and simple. But what we've done like a Judaizer. We have created our own truth. Basically, here it is. We created this. Here, let me just say it and I'll elaborate. The problem, we made a truth that a person can accept Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Master. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And that is what Kingport is filled with. That's what Tennessee is filled with. That's what Alabama is filled with. That's what United States is filled with. And that we can know Jesus as our Savior, but He not be our Master. There's no such thing. The Bible doesn't teach that. And we don't let people die and go to hell because we believe a lie that's been passed down from man of this ideal that you can be a Christian and not act like a Christian. They don't act like a Christian because they're not a new creature. That's why they're not faithful to God. That's why their whole life has been filled with unfaithfulness. That's why they don't open the Bible. That's why if they could go back and live their life, they would live the same way they did the first time. Sin. It bothers me when I talk to people who glory in their sinful past with no regret. It makes me wonder, are you saved? A problem, and we made up a truth that a person can accept Jesus as their Savior, but not their Master. That's not biblical. Not biblical. Not biblical. That's the truth that in itself people want to reject. Most people, I think, once again, my point is that the whole sermon can be proved by just that one statement. The first fact about truth is you are not the source of truth. Number two, you receive the truth from Jesus. And then thirdly, we can reject the truth. It's sad, but it's true. You can reject the truth. Look at verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversations in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. And wasted it, and profited in the Jew religion of many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. And letter A here is basically this, you can reject the truth. Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. And Saul grew up, he was religious, like so many people all around here. He was religious, he was very religious. He wore the shirts. Oh, he would have had the job. He would have beat you over the head with the Bible. He knew it backwards and forward. But there was a day when God sent his son. That son was born and grew up. His name was Jesus. And he started the earthly ministry. They crucified him. He rose again and commissioned the disciples to tell the truth. And oh, did they start telling the truth. And just looking at Acts, I had a sermon called The Church Grew Like Wildfire. And oh, did it grow. Yeah. But there was a man whose name was Saul. And he heard the truth. And he said, I'm not accepting that. And what did he start doing? He started persecuting the church. He even stoned Stephen. And in my mind, I don't think it was said this, but I can imagine Stephen was witnessing to him the whole time. Even Paul, now, he rejects the truth at one time. He had heard it before Jesus, before the road to Damascus. He knew the ins and outs of it. He knew the jargon. He knew to say, yeah, I believe in God. I mean, believing in God and having faith in God are two different things. He rejected the truth. Hey, other than rejected, all I think about the one of the saddest stories, the young rich ruler who walked away. He rejected the truth. You can reject the truth. And here's the reality, many times you do. Have you ever done something you knew that you shouldn't because of what the Word of God said? And you know, have you went ahead and just done it anyways? You know what you did? You, at that moment, rejected the truth. You rejected the truth. Like I said, I said this last week, we need to accept that. And we need to know that we're prone against rejecting the truth and guard against it. Here's the thing. Why should I not reject the truth? Here it is, letter B. The regret. Here's the thing, you're going to regret it. Maybe not today, but you will regret rejecting the truth. Luke 16, 27-31. I'm going to read it. Kind of lengthy, but we're almost done. And he said this, I beg you, fathers, to send to me to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest also come to this place of torment. That we see the regret right there. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophet. There's the truth. There's God's truth. And he said, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father, but let someone from the dead and they will repent. There's the rejection. They hadn't repented. And he said to them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophet, neither will they be convicted if they hear someone that raised from the dead. See, they had the truth. That's the prophets. The young or the rich man here, he had, even when he was alive, he had the prophets. Oh, but he didn't listen to them. Because even he said, if someone would come from the dead, then they'll believe when he's talking about himself as well. But here's the thing. He rejected the truth. And now he regrets it. He said he was in torment. Anytime we reject God's truth, we will regret it. It's called consequences. Now, we're not going to be perfect. I understand that. But what's your attitude? The problem is, I'm not trying to teach a perfection Christianity. I'm trying to teach that if we're truly saved, then that should be our attitude. That, man, I want to follow God. I don't want to reject anything of the Word. I want, deep down, I want to be perfect, knowing I'm not going to be. Yet, the attitude now of the so-called Christian is, let me do what you want. That is just so contradictory to what the Word of God teaches. A true believer, like I've said it before, I got this from my mentor, and there's a button here, and it said, you can hit this button, and you'll never sin again. A true believer should be so a true believer is going to want to hit that button as fast as possible. Why? Because they don't want to make a mistake. Do we make mistakes? Yeah, but we don't want to. When we do make mistakes, there's grief. Here's the thing, you will reject it. You can reject the truth. You'll be tempted to reject the truth. And sadly, sometimes you will give in to that temptation. Why? Because of pride. Pride won't do what it wants to do. Which is why we got to preach this. Which is why we got to talk about this today. Because you enjoy it. Sometimes you enjoy what you're doing. See, the thing is, many times we don't mind God telling us what to do sometimes. The problem with most of us is we don't want God telling us what to do 100% of the time. That's the problem. We don't mind picking and choosing. Here's the thing. It's really all or nothing. All or nothing. Is God going to conform you all the way? In conclusion here, as the piano player comes, Tammy comes to play, and we stand to our feet, I'm going to conclude with just the three main points. What do we need to know about truth? Here it is. Number one, you are not the source of truth. Oh, man, when it comes to salvation, there's so many people who say, well, I think, or I got this deal, whatever I've got, it doesn't matter what you got. If you don't have the Word of God, if you don't have Jesus Christ, if you don't have faith in Jesus, then you're not saved. Because you're not the source of truth. You cannot create your own salvation. You're not the source of truth when it comes to how to live your life. And you're not up to you to decide what you want to watch on TV. It's up to what the Word of God dictates. It's not up to you to decide what song I'm going to listen to. It's up to the Word of God. It doesn't matter what, you don't get to decide who you want to hang out with. The Word of God has to dictate that. And there's principles throughout the Bible that teach you that. It doesn't matter what America says okay in the world of business to get away with. No, what matters is what God's Word says about business. It doesn't matter what you think you should do with your finances. It matters what the Bible says. See, the Bible is the only truth. You are not the truth. And that's the thing. You receive the truth from Jesus. And that's in simple God's Word. But here's the thing. You can reject it. And sadly, many people do. But here's the thing. Many people, all people, regret it. As you begin to play, if God spoke to your heart, and He spoke to my heart, man, I can't even think about it. I mean, we're follow the Word of God in every area of life, no matter what. That's difficult. Hey, and before I know it, there's many times when I justify something with my own reasoning. That's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to let the Word of God inform me. Hey, maybe it's you. Maybe you're there. Maybe today you're having a problem living the truth. Maybe you don't know the truth. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe that's why you're not faithful. Maybe that's why you're in and out of church. Maybe that's why you're doing certain things, because you don't know the truth. Hey, that's you today. I want to encourage you to get saved. Surrender your life. You can let your heart fill up with pride and say, I've got this, but you don't have this. Not unless it's Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ.